Right, Psalms 11. We'll be back in the book of Psalms this evening. Psalms 11. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Psalms 11, and tonight we're looking at essentially this title, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. Psalms 11, verses 1 through 3, but our emphasis tonight will be in verse number 3. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this evening. Thank you, Lord, for all those able to come out tonight. Ask you to be with those once again, Lord, unable to be here tonight. Just ask you, Lord, just to heal them up quickly. Ask you to be with the Elsies tonight also, as they, Brother Elsie buried his mother earlier today. Ask you to be with that family as they're still gathered together today. And ask you to be with his family as they travel back where they go. Brother Kenneth Elsie, who came in from Bolivia with his family, ask you to give them safety back to the field. And but ask you right now, Lord, if you would, just be with us as your word is open. Ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1929, Billy Sunday said this to believers: civilization and society rest on morals. Morals rest on religion. Religion rests on the Bible and faith in God and Jesus Christ. So tonight we're looking at if the foundations be destroyed. The word foundation means the basis or groundwork or anything that on which anything stands and by which it is supported. A free government has its foundation in the choice and consent of the people to be governed. Christ is the foundation of the church. We see Isaiah 28 and verse 16, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:10, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In America, we have what we all know of as the Constitution of the United States. Now, the Constitution is America's foundation, but America's foundation was built upon the pre-existing foundation of the Bible and Jesus Christ. We say that we have a nation that was built upon biblical foundations, biblical principles. The very moral fiber of our country stems from and takes root in the Bible. As a people, our Constitution is under attack. But we must be mindful that the Constitution was built off of the Word of God and not vice versa, which means if we can allow the Lord to use us to bring revival in this land, a revival to the Word of God, then a threefold blessing occurs. More foundations would be built upon the pre-existing foundation of the Word of God. We'd also see foundations that are on the verge of complete ruin to become mended. And lastly, we would see less attacks against our foundations altogether. Now, a lot of people don't consider this to be true, but it is. History is a large part of our foundation as individuals. History is a large part of our foundation as a country, as a church, as believers. So why is history so important that the devil attacks American history and the history of Christianity? The reason is simple, because God can be clearly seen in it. Society is trying to erase God from our history. Why is that? They don't want America to see where we came from, because it serves as a fixed reference point to who and what we were founded upon. A fixed point of reference in history highlights how far we've moved. It highlights where we went wrong and how to get back there. And as David asked, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? One commentator says the word foundations here refers to those things on which society rests or by which social order is sustained. the great principles of truth and righteousness that uphold society, as the foundations on which an edifice rests uphold the building. The reference is to a destruction of those things in a community when truth is no longer respected, when justice is no longer practiced, when fraud and violence have taken the place of honesty and honor, when error prevails, when a character for integrity and virtue affords no longer any security. This is supposed to be the case in the circumstances referred to in the Psalms, when there was no respect paid to truth and justice, and when the righteous, therefore, could find no security. It is under these circumstances the advice is given in Psalm 11 in verse 1, and that's that the righteous should seek safety in flight. So the foundations of a moral and just society, again, we've already outlined, is God and the Bible. So what's the foundation of Christianity? It is the Word of God. It's what Psalms 2 says holds us together. It is our bands in Psalms 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Notice that phrase in verse 3, their bands. It's the destruction of any ties to Christianity, to God, to the Bible. Ties would be defined as a link, something that joins something together. So what Christianity consists of is God. We learn more about God from his written word. We learn more about God from his church, also from his man for that church. And the Bible should be the foundation for God's man and for God's church. And the devil knows this, so our Bible has been and will be under attack. We have all these different versions today that are so contrary to what was truly inspired by God for us to live by. If the devil would concoct so many different ways and paths and directions for everything else that pertained to God, why is it so hard to fathom that the devil would put into print and stamp Holy Bible on misdirections and falsehoods? If the world can make blurry the true standard, then people have no true, unaltered sense of what is right and what is wrong, what is sin, what is the remedy of sin. So society wants to break the bands of Christianity. They want to dismantle our foundation. If you want your family to make it, don't let society destroy your foundation. If you want your marriage to make it, don't let society destroy your foundation. If you want this church to stay together and to stand, we cannot allow society to destroy our foundation, because the devil knows that our foundation is built on truth and holiness and righteousness and doing things God's way. And I stand here today to remind you that the devil is after your and my foundation. And I encourage you, don't let society pull you away from truth. You will reap destruction. People very ignorantly say, I have a good foundation, no worry now. But it's lies. You and I can be moved. You and I can be attacked. What we stand for can be attacked. Foundations can be weakened if you allow it. You can be shifty if you allow it. You can trade a foundation of good and right and go stand somewhere else if you choose to. Many have left good churches that have been built upon the Word of God for counterfeit goods, a weakened gospel, a weakened book that they call a Bible, a weak preacher that won't tell you right from wrong as the Lord leads. And many more will follow after them. And I'd rather be all out on the couch than to go to a place that claims to be God's house, claims to have God's word, claims to have God's man, claims to have the answer to man's greatest need, but it's empty, it's shallow, the Lord isn't in it. Why is that? Because their foundations have been destroyed. You see, we have a foundation in our homes. We have a foundation in our marriage. This church has a foundation. These foundations are built upon the pre-existing foundation of the Word of God. In Psalms, the advisors are not saying to David, what if the foundation of the Word of God is destroyed? Because that's impossible. What they're saying is, what happens if the foundations that have been built upon the foundation of the Word of God are destroyed. What then do the righteous do? And I'll say this, in this city right here, few, if any, outside of us still stand on the Word of God. And the day is coming where fewer and fewer churches will be standing on the proper foundation. The Word of God for English-speaking people, the King James Bible. David asked, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, the Word of God comes with a promise. They won't ever get rid of it entirely. They're trying, but they'll never get rid of it entirely. But the devil knows if he can get as many people as he can standing somewhere else, he'll get some victories. He'll get some victories in the lives of Christians that only grabs up the Word on Sundays. He'll get some victories when truth is falling into the streets. What happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden still happens today. God spoke. That was God's Word in the garden. It wasn't written for man at that time, but that was God's Word. He spoke it. You think about inspiration of Scripture. As God breathed, God in the garden breathed His Word into the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve rejected God's Word, they invited everything else in. Same today, when God's Word left our schools, everything else came in. When God's Word left government, everything else came in. When God's Word left corporate America, everything else came in. When God's Word left our homes, everything else came in. When God's Word left our churches, everything else came in. So why, when we think about this question, why does the world want to break our bands? Why do they want to come after our foundations? Because they want to cast away truth. And as a result, God is under attack. Prayer is under attack. God's Word is under attack. God's preachers are under attack. God's people are under attack. And just as I mentioned above, they try to make the Bible of minimal effect. They try to discredit the Word of God. There are even many Christians today who let someone else interpret the Word of God for them instead of the Holy Spirit of God. And have been led astray by false doctrine given by false teachers. And false teachers are here, and more of them will come. And by watering down the Word, they minimize its effect. It has little hold. This is warfare, whether we realize it or not, when they attack God's Word. And by getting us away from God's Word, it limits what the Word can do for us. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Emphasis now on the righteous. You see, the righteous are still standing on foundations that were laid upon the foundation of the Word of God. And you see, there are more important foundations than the foundation of America. What about the foundation of our homes? The foundation of our churches. See, if our homes and churches were strong, America would be just fine. But the devil has attacked the foundations and destroyed the foundations in many homes and in many churches. The devil has attacked and destroyed foundations. And when he did that, the family Bible went out the front door. It's replaced with a false god. Churches became about man and their foundations were destroyed. Tragically, there are many churches today that are all about man. Churches, some of them became about money as their foundations were destroyed. When your foundation becomes destroyed, you're susceptible to whatever. Some churches, as their foundation had cracks, as their foundations destroyed, they came about crowds and who's who. As Leonard Ravenhill taught, gain is godliness is essentially what's being taught in some places. If there's no gain, then you're not godly. There's no numbers, then you're not godly. You must not be doing anything. When the foundation of churches were destroyed It was in part because they moved off of the Bible. And I say again, the Bible was not destroyed. Christ, the chief cornerstone, was not destroyed. Many have just decided they wouldn't stand where they ought to anymore. The foundation of homes and the foundation of churches were destroyed when they moved off of biblical foundations. One compromise at a time. One chip at the foundation at a time. And then before you know, a new foundation has been laid that is not upon the Bible, but upon many other things. So what can the righteous do? As our homes are falling apart, what can the righteous do as our churches are falling apart? What can the righteous do as our Bible colleges and seminaries are falling apart? What can the righteous do as our nation is falling apart? What can the righteous do as our whole world is falling apart? Well, I can tell you this much. We cannot fall apart just because the majority are. We can't allow our homes to fall apart because a lot of them have. We can't allow Emmanuel Baptist Church to fall apart because a lot of churches have and will. We can't take flight and quit like these counselors was encouraging David to do. So what can the righteous do? What David do? Look at verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. When it's falling apart, we have to trust the Lord. When the nation, when our churches, when our families at times are falling apart, we've got to trust in the Lord. Be mindful of verses 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. And in horrible tempest this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Lord, loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. David is responding to his counselors here. David is saying the Lord knows. The Lord sees and the Lord tries. The word tries means to examine judicially by witnesses and the principles of law. What's the law? The law is the word of God. So he views them and judges them according to his law, his standard. David is saying to his counselors, they won't get by with it because the Lord knows. Now this helps me in a day and age where there's so much perverted justice. I cannot tell you at times how often I get upset because guilty has been called innocent, or innocent has been called guilty. So much perverted justice. Like Matthew says in Matthew 10, verses 21 through 22, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew talks about essentially an opposite day. So, And really, we need welcomed in 2025 to opposite day. Brother against brother. We could say siblings against siblings, parents against children, children against parents. The righteous are persecuted. Lawlessness is praised. In context here in the book of Matthew, the day is coming where Christians will be so persecuted for their faith that their own family will report them. Siblings will have siblings put to death because of their faith. Mothers and fathers will have their children put to death because of their faith. Children will have their mothers and fathers put to death because of their faith. You know, this happens even in Muslim countries. It happens in Muslim countries. You hear about it periodically from missionaries out on the field where one of their converts, someone in their family, told on one of their converts, and that reason, a father's son is out in the streets getting beat because he converted to Christianity. And the father went out and told whoever is in charge in those communities like that, that his son had converted to Christianity. And now his son is an infidel and should be treated as an infidel. people in prison today because their mothers and fathers put them there for converting to Christianity. And Matthew's saying that this day, and by the way, it's already here in some places in the world. We've just looked at that. It's coming to America. It's coming. If you don't think it's possible, just think about how many family members turned on each other back during COVID. Family get-togethers ending in fireworks over safety measures or lack of safety measures. As society gets worse, don't tell me families won't be capable of it. The Bible says they will. COVID in some ways gave us a glimpse of how possible it already is. It's a precursor to everyone turning on each other and becoming every man or woman after himself. You know how many times? There was several times in particular where I went to the store to look for something, whether it was toilet paper or water during COVID. Whether it was toilet paper or water. And there was none on the shelf, but I walked past two or three people that had buggies full. Now, this was in the beginning, before companies started putting limits. It's sad we even had to put limits. But we had to, so companies wanted to try and please as many of their customers as they could. Customers come, some of them, they buying up all several buggies of water. People coming in trying to get water. And, you know, toilet paper. People trying to come in and get, you got a buggy full of toilet paper, whatever brand they could grab, but it's full. Buggy's full. They're covered for the next 3 months, 4 months. You know, people over here, they might only have a couple rolls left at the house. You know, a family of seven. You know, they needed their toilet paper. I'm not trying to get all sidetracked this evening, but I had people. I said, hey, if y'all spot any, let me know. I had people going everywhere: Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Walmart. Walmart was always out. You had to be at Dollar General in the morning when that stuff first came out, like right as it came out. And then sometimes you'd have to ask an employee if they'd be so kind to unbox what was on the crate that was just out there just chilling when people needed it. You know, will you do your job and unbox that for me? No, I wouldn't phrase it that way. I would just ask them if I could have some. But you know, it was crazy. Just in that situation, we saw where everybody just started. No, I probably shouldn't say everybody, but there was a lot of people who said, "You know what? I'm looking out for me and my interest and nobody else." And in a situation where everything goes south, and in a time of distress and persecution, it becomes a dog-eat-dog world. And it becomes the last man standing situation. As I saw one guy say one time, he said, he's talking about fighting. If you find yourself in a situation where you got to fight, fight like you're the third monkey trying to get on Noah's Ark. One of them's got to go down for you to be one of the two getting on the Ark. So fight like you're the third one. No, I'm joking about that, because the Lord led them all peacefully. So y'all know what I'm saying. I'm just cutting up a little bit here tonight. But that's the way we become. If we feel like we're on the outside of something, we're trying to get on the inside. And society's only going to get worse. Society, if you think about at times how self-centered society is today, it's only going to get worse. They're only going to get more self-absorbed and self-consumed. The world's only going to get more entitled. So how does it get this bad? Foundations being destroyed. That's how and why it'd get that bad. So what can the righteous do? Stand when it's time to stand, stay put when it'd be hard to do so, and don't run away when it would be easy to do that. Speak up when it's time to. Keep serving the Lord. Keep trusting in Him. Keep doing what we know we should be doing. Decide what David did, that I will trust in the Lord and be mindful of what David was mindful of, that God knows and God is watching. God will judge those who need to be judged. But then to the flip side, God knows and God is watching, and God will reward those who need to be rewarded.